An auction comes this weekend in New Hampshire with the title American Gangsters, Outlaws, and Lawmen. It will feature crime memorabilia, a deposition signed by Al Capone, an ID card from Chicago Prohibition agent Elliot Ness, and almost 80 years after the deaths of Bonnie and Clyde, a few tools of their trade are going up for auction. Experts predict that Clyde's Colt 45 and Bonnie's 38 Special could each go for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Here's New Hampshire Public Radio's Todd Bookman.
It took him a while, but legendary lawman Frank Hamer eventually caught up with Bonnie and Clyde. It was 1934, and the kids from Dallas were passing through Gibbsland, Louisiana.
The inevitable end. Retribution. Here is Clyde Barrow and Bonnie Parker, who died as they lived, by the gun.
After the ambush, Hamer and his posse were told they could keep whatever they found in the so-called death car. What they found was an arsenal: shotguns, automatic rifles, ammunition, and pistols. In the 1970s, the Hamer family sold off many of the items to collectors. And on Sunday, the public will get a chance to bid on some of those weapons at an auction in Nashua, New Hampshire. The centerpieces of the auction are the Colt 45 that Hamer found tucked into Clyde's waistband and the 38 Detective Special taped to Bonnie's thigh. They could each go for six figures. The two guns are a link to another time, says author Jeff Gwynn. He wrote Go Down Together, the true untold story of Bonnie and Clyde.
Bonnie and Clyde seem so romantic to people who don't know the real story. They seem like heroes, doomed lovers. Getting Clyde's gun or Bonnie's in this auction to someone might seem the equivalent of getting a real-life Romeo's sword or the little vial of poison. It's a link to mythology.
Newspapers helped spread the myth that they were glamorous Robin Hood-like bank robbers. Bobby Livingston with RR Auction says that story was nowhere near their reality.
They had to live in their car and live in fear and drive all night and hide out all day. It was a horrible existence.
But this was the height of the Depression, and people were looking for heroes. In Bonnie and Clyde, Jeff Gwynn says the poor saw rebels taking on the balance of power.
Even the police were looked on sort of as the enemy. Bankers were hated. I mean, Occupy Wall Street, boy, that same sentiment was so strong when Bonnie and Clyde were out there.
80 years later, today's fans of Bonnie and Clyde drive a strong market for memorabilia. Along with the guns, Bobby Livingston says other items in this weekend's auction should draw interest from collectors. A silver dollar pulled from Clyde's jacket, a pillbox.
And you can see here, most remarkably for me, is the stocking.
Livingston holds up Bonnie's silk stocking, found on the floor of the car. It's wearing thin, with a small dark stain near the calf.
It's fascinating the passions people have for acquiring things that belong to famous people. Each of these things, like that stocking and that little aspirin, that tells you a picture of the story of the life on the road of Bonnie and Clyde that you can't get any other way. And it's just neat to have.
Livingston says the pair loved reading about their exploits in tabloids and magazines. Bonnie and Clyde would love knowing they can still grab headlines. For NPR News, I'm Todd Bookman in Concord, New Hampshire.
Can tell you people they were the devil's children. Bonnie and Clyde began their evil doing one lazy afternoon down Savannah way. They robbed a store and hightailed out of that town. Got clean away.